to Hurwitz's House of Horror.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Hurwitz's House of Horror. I'm your host, Steve Hurwitz, and this is the podcast where we watch and talk about horror movies or horror-related things. With me once again is the official, unofficial co-host, Jeff Miller.
Sorry, actually, Jeff couldn't make it today.
Oh, who are you?
I'm just here. He sent me, just to let you know, he's busy out in the field.
I mean, you sound just like him.
Yeah, well, we've been practicing just in case. So I'll just be filling in.
Okay, but you also look like him as well.
It's been a lot of hard work.
Are you like his lost twin brother?
No.
Are you a clone?
No, we just actually met in the field that he's working in now. and he's like, whoa, you look kind of like me. Have you ever seen the movie Dave, where they find that guy that looks like the president? And he fills in, we should do that. We should pull a Dave on Steve. But I just felt bad and lying. So I just figured I'd tell you right away.
Oh, well, thank you.
But anyway, I'm excited to be here.
I don't know what Dave is. I've never seen Dave.
Well, it's good.
I was thinking about that movie. What's that one with Michael Fassbender where he has like that big fake head? I thought that's what you're talking about.
That movie is that also called Dave?
Might be called Dave.
No, this one is Kevin Kline.
Mm-hmm.
Very well known Sigourney from, Weaver.
What's that fucking movie? Wild Wild West?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Starring one of the Smith family. Mm-hmm. Wild Wild West.
Wait, did you say Sigourney Weaver's in Dave?
Yep.
How old is that movie?
She plays the first lady.
Is it like an 80s movie?
It is a 90s movie.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm going to look this up because I feel like I'm missing out on something.
It's a great movie.
Dave?
It's called Dave.
Dave. Movie. Interesting. From 1993.
You should watch the trailer.
You know what?
Cut in the trailer. Everyone's like, what the fuck is this? Why are you guys doing this?
Dave Kovic was an ordinary guy.
Mr. Kovic, your government needs your help.
We just happen to look like the president.
You're a very handsome man.
Well, what should I call you then?
You can call me Dave.
I'll call you Dave.
Yeah.
All right. Well, welcome to the podcast for the very first time. Dave.
Hey.
Hey, man.
Hey.
What were you guys doing in the field?
Well, I don't like to talk about it.
Was it like a Stand By Me thing where you guys found a dead body?
Allegedly. Allegedly. We'll just say that. There may have been something found that resembled a body.
Okay.
And I won't go any further into that. There's an open investigation. I can't talk about it.
Are there like some train tracks you guys are hanging out on?
You could say that.
Is Kiefer Sutherland there?
He was not there. Mm. His double was there.
Ah, man, this is just a...
His name is David.
Oh.
It gets confusing.
I see.
Yeah.
I feel like I should have sent David over here too.
Wow.
Well, no offense. I mean...
Oh, you don't mean instead of me.
No, exactly. Like okay, both of you guys. Yeah.
Yeah, he... I could give him... Maybe he'll show up next time.
Yeah. Was he like a stunt actor for 24? A stunt man?
Well, he really wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like, you know what? You're not ready for that. You can double me when I go hang out in the field.
Kiefer was?
Mm-hmm.
I see.
Yeah. So he was there. Allegedly. I don't want to make any claim. I don't want to get in trouble here. So.
Of course. We're not bringing up any dead bodies.
No.
Or any brief appearances of Kiefer Sutherland.
Yeah. I mean, not any dead bodies in the real world. Maybe in...
Stand
the film
me?
That I was supposed to have watched.
Oh.
Okay. Am I right?
Yes.
I also watched.
Good.
The movie or whatever you'd call this that we're talking about today.
Perfect.
We watched it together.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you'll be able to fill in for Jeff today and, you know, be able to
say
your thoughts. It'll be good to have like a new, fresh perspective.
Right. It was just getting kind of stale. You know, that guy's, let's be honest, he's... kind of one note, you know what I mean?
Pretty cool.
That's what I was gonna say.
Yeah.
Are you recording right now?
Yes.
Oh man, Jeff, such a cool guy, so funny. Thanks for the job, Jeff.
He's gonna listen back and thank you for that.
Yeah.
Well, before we get into today's movie, Let me ask you a question, Dave.
Okay.
Have you watched the trailer, fully knowing as I ask you this, for Guillermo del Toro's Cabinet of Curiosities?
No, but I did watch the trailer for Guillermo del Toro's Cabinet of Curiosities.
You know, I have the worst time saying that, Dave. It's really rude.
Yeah.
That you just corrected me and brought that up.
Especially because you respect him so much.
Yeah. Well, slowly losing that.
I did watch it. Yeah, it looks great.
Yeah.
You showed it to me just now. Yeah.
I like that it is, of course, by Guillermo del Toro.
Mm-hmm.
I love a bunch of his movies. Hellboy 2, The Golden Army. I've never actually seen Pan's Labyrinth. Oh,
that's surprising to me.
Yeah, I think I got like halfway and I think I just fell asleep and never got back around to it. Mm. But what I saw was really cool. All of the monsters. I remember specifically the hand guy, the eyeballs on the hands.
Yeah,
that was a thing, right?
Yeah, that's that movie.
Yeah, you see you reenacting it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If you can,
if you're listening, you can see Steve reenacting it right here.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, hold on. Really quick. Everyone just give me a quick second here.
Mm-hmm. This is good content. Oops. Everyone loves
done
visual jokes on a podcast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They also like waiting in silence.
It's true.
Dead air.
Yeah. It's the suspense build up like a horror movie though.
Yeah.
Do I sound
you
to
should,
be doing this?
You should. Okay. You Can should cut in like eerie music in that dead space.
Like put in like that.
Something like that.
Oh Jesus. That's not annoying.
Yeah.
I'll just kind of like undercut the House of Horror theme, my theme underneath.
Yeah, there you go.
Be-do-be-do-be-do-be-do.
Or the soundtrack from Halloween 3, Season of the Witch.
Mm, just like Stephen King did in a callback to a previous episode.
That's right.
Last week's episode.
That's kind of like a layered sandwich callback.
Yeah. Wow.
Callback to a callback.
Wow. Callbacks for days.
And that's where we should keep doing that.
But I'm looking forward to this series. It looks very fun. I like that it's an anthology series.
Me too.
There was one in particular that stood out to me. It was called The Tales in Witch House.
Okay.
I'm gonna look up the actual name for that.
Well, I liked that he specifically, obviously with Guillermo del Toro, called out that they're doing like physical effects for the whole thing.
Yeah.
And really leaning into like the creature horror, like classic stuff from like The Thing and
just the practical effects in general. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it was like, you can watch the teaser on YouTube. That's what we did. It's coming to Netflix on October 25th. But it kind of, it emphasized how he wanted to have all the directors to have this creative control to do their own thing while also keeping it very practical, which, as I've brought up many times, is one of my favorite things about horror movies from the 80s, you know, up until they started using CG at every opportunity that they possibly could.
Yeah, using it for like polish or for little flourishes is obviously great, but
absolutely
just using it as a catch-all is not the best.
So I have a quote here. He ended up saying, "With Cabinet of Curiosities, we set out to showcase the realities existing outside of our normal world, the anomalies and curiosities. We handpicked and curated a group of stories and storytellers to deliver these tales, whether they come from outer space, supernatural lore, or simply within our minds. Each of these 8 tales is a fantastical peek inside the cabinet of delights existing underneath the reality we live in." That's
awesome. That sounds great.
Yeah.
See, when I first heard the title, I thought it was a sequel to Indy in the Cupboard.
Uh-huh. Could have been.
And I got excited.
Uh-huh.
And then realized, you know, it wasn't. But, this sounds even better.
Yeah. So the one I'm looking forward to is called The Dreams in the Witch House. And that is based off of what I'm assuming is a short story by H.P. Lovecraft.
Mm.
And I love H.P. Lovecraft. Such a weird, he's a weird guy, you know, very controversial, but he ended up making some amazing stories or creating some amazing stories with amazing characters and lore, the whole Cthulhu mythos and just weird cosmic horror shit that I have come to appreciate so much more. And I love seeing kind of pop up in movies or in other books or comics. It's such a crazy and weird and fun, just fucked up kind of universe. And so from what I remember, I haven't read this story in a while, but The Dreams in the Witch House, it's about a guy who moves into like an attic for school or something. Again, I'm going to paraphrase a lot of this. And apparently like a witch used to live there and she ended up dying and she did some weird shit up there. And the gentleman who moves in starts having these weird dreams about like murders or witchcraft. And at certain points, he ends up like getting teleported to the ancient city from the Lost Ones. Or it's bananas.
That's not what I was expecting.
No. And he starts not being able to tell like if they're real or not, if, like the dreams are actually happening. Mm-hmm. But at a certain point, I believe he ends up like grabbing a piece of stone that has like the face of one of the old ones on it. And he brings it back from his dream.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And then there's this like giant rat with a man's face.
Oh,
yeah. It's like the witch's familiar or something.
Yeah. It sounds awful.
Yeah. And eventually there's like some sort of sacrifice involving a baby, and he ends up getting involved and he tries saving the baby. But I think he ends up going blind or he loses his mind. And it was a very interesting story. I remember it being very cool. Hmm. They did do a bit of an interpretation of it. Did you ever see the series Masters of Horror on Showtime?
No, I don't believe so.
All right. It was very interesting. Hmm. I'm using that word a lot, interesting. It was essentially an anthology show where they would get all of like the Masters of Horror. They had John Carpenter, just a bunch of
other ones.
Other people.
Our two examples, John Carpenter and The Thing, and then we have no other examples.
Well, it's also funny because they got Stuart Gordon, who directed Reanimator, From Beyond, that crazy movie that we watched with Barbara Crampton, Castle Freak, Dagon. He ended up doing this, of course, because he just loves H.P. Lovecraft as well. Mm-hmm. So he did this reimagining of The Dreams in Witch House. And I remember it being like, it wasn't great, but it was fine. I specifically remember like the rat with a man's face.
Yeah, that's,
and it was
kind of goofy. I can't get past that. I just keep thinking about a rat with a man's face.
Yeah, it was very goofy, but it was interesting. And I think I remember liking it at the time, but I had no real reason to go back and watch it. Mm-hmm. But it was an interesting show. And so that was kind of the first interpretation I remember seeing of it brought to screen. But I feel like with Guillermo del Toro's visions, he will be able to kind of maybe make a much more accurate and maybe a more kind of horrifying story.
Do you think he was inspired by that show, Masters of Horror?
Maybe. Wouldn't surprise me.
It seems
me.
Similar, but kind of like with him being an overall producer with other, because you said it's an anthology and also each episode is directed by
different horror directors or other
directors, right? Yeah. So very similar concept.
You know, he might have actually directed an episode. Let me go to the old Computron.
Beep, boop, beep, 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 boop, beep, beep. This is... Welcome.
It doesn't look like he did. Maybe he, like, produced it or something. I feel like he would have had some hand in this, but...
After all, his name isn't H.P. Lovecraft. I just had to get that in there. That's a joke from earlier.
That's pretty good.
So,
well, yeah, anyways, yeah, I'm very excited seeing that trailer. I honestly didn't really even know about the show until I was just online. I was like, oh shit, what is this?
I remember hearing something about it like a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea what it was, but I remember him saying like, oh, I'm working on some kind of something or other.
He's always had such a cool, his colors always come to mind in movies are so like, specifically so bright, they're so like intense.
His character design too is very iconic.
Yeah,
like his characters are memorable, like you said, the dude with the eyeballs in his hands and the fanned out hands. There's not a lot of movies where I immediately think of the creatures that were in those movies. Did you see the trailer for his Pinocchio movie?
No.
The animated Pinocchio movie looks good.
Is that's not the one with Tom Hanks, right? That's a different Pinocchio movie.
No, there's like five Pinocchio movies coming out in the next couple of years. No idea why.
Probably because it's back in the public domain.
Yeah, I bet you anything it's moved back in the public domain.
Well,
because there's one from, there's an animated one from Disney, which has Tom Hanks in it. Or it's live action animated or something.
I think it's live action.
Yeah, live action, like CG or whatever. There's an animated like stop motion one from Guillermo del Toro. And then there's a CG fully animated one. Don't know who made it, but
somebody,
Pauly Shore voices Pinocchio.
Oh goodness.
Those are the only ones I know of. I'm pretty sure there's at least one or two more.
I think the Disney one's called like Geppetto, right?
No, it's called Pinocchio.
Is it? Oh man, that's a missed opportunity right there. I bet if this one does good, they'll do an origin story, Geppetto. Uh-huh. What was the story before he created Pinocchio?
Right.
Who cares? But we're going to make
young.
It.
Yeah. He's
sexy. Young, sexy.
That would be the CW Pinocchio if they made one.
It's like the young Pope, but about Geppetto.
Yeah.
And they get Stephen Amell from Arrow. I'm Geppetto.
I'm Geppetto.
He fights crime.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where I'm going with this, but I hate it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the last movie that I saw that Guillermo del Toro did, man, was Nightmare Alley. Did you see that one?
No, I wanted to, but I never watched it.
It was really good. It's a remake from an older version of that movie. But again, he brings such a distinct style. Mm-hmm. It's very much just like, yeah, again, the colors are always the biggest thing that I think he does.
I feel like the last thing of his that I watched was Pacific Rim, mm-hmm. honestly.
Damn.
Unless there's something in between there now, but
let's see.
Yeah, I think that's the last
Ship
thing I
of Water. You didn't see that one?
No, that was another one I kind of wanted to, and I heard mixed things, and I kind of was like, I don't know.
Ooh,
just fell by the wayside.
Actually, the last one that I'm gonna say you saw is Crimson Peak, because I watched that with you.
When you put words in my mouth.
Yeah, when we were living in Long Beach, remember we went to go see it in theaters?
Oh, that's right.
And I was kind of let down by it.
Yeah,
like it was visually cool.
It was fine.
But yeah.
What's yeah, I remember face? That was our big thing, was like, that looked really cool, but the story was pretty boring, right?
Yeah, from what I remember.
I mean, I just don't even remember it. That kind of tells you.
I just wasn't really into it.
Yeah.
But hey, they all can't be hits.
Right.
But going back to just my excitement for the series, I'm very much looking forward to it.
Oh, totally. Yeah, yeah. It looks good.
Again, coming out on Netflix on October 25th. I'm sure we'll actually probably dive into that at some point.
I'm
maybe
sure,
we'll
yeah.
do an episode, or just like, you know, a little preamble where we just talk about some of the ones we liked or whatever. So one quick thing before we jump into today's topic, I've been playing a new horror game. It's called The Mortuary Assistant, and it's pretty freaky.
That sounds, do you just like help embalm bodies and stuff?
You do a little bit of that. So my friend at work suggested this game to me, and I finally got around to getting the demo.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking about buying it now because it's really spooky. So you are you're an assistant, and you go in one night. It's like, I don't know, 1 a.m. It called in late because death never sleeps. And so you start to kind of like do this embalming process on somebody.
Right.
And some weird things start happening.
I think I've seen clips from this game, actually.
It's spooky, man.
Is it VR?
No.
Oh. I've seen a video of a couple playing it.
Uh-huh.
I think if this is what they're like embalming a body and they keep looking up and there's like a hallway or something and yeah. they see movement.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's the game I saw. It looks spooky.
Yeah. They're like weird. I guess it ends up being about demons and stuff.
Naturally.
Yeah. And there are some jump scares that kind of got me, you know, like you'll be looking down into a cabinet or something to get something out and you look up and there's just like somebody sitting on top of like the shelf, like staring at you and then just disappears. Ooh. There's like this creepy woman, like this black outline shadow with just two red eyes that, you know, I was going down one hallway. I turn around and she's just staring at me looking and then
Did
disappears. There were a few times where I kind of like shook a little bit, like ooh. Yeah, it's pretty fun. This was a game where I kind of started to think, do I really like horror games?
You're like, I like watching horror stuff. Do I like being involved in horror?
Yeah.
That's a whole different story.
Because I was genuinely getting like creeped out and I was like, oh no, this is a terrible, but like great feeling at the same time, which goes back to when I was talking about Blair Witch last week, how you have like a dog character to kind of keep next to you and makes me feel much more safe and like wanting to go on.
I feel like I would like horror games with friends.
Oh, definitely.
I think that's the thing. I don't know if I'd want to play them by myself,
uh-huh.
but I know you play like Phasmophobia, or you were playing it for a long time.
Yeah, that was fun. With friends.
And that sounds fun.
Yeah.
Where you kind of like, you're all kind of scared and like you get to see other people jump and stuff. Mm-hmm. That's the fun part. Not like just being scared by myself.
Yeah.
That sounds terrifying.
So in the Blair Witch 2, I was playing a little bit more of that. I didn't get too far. I think I got like another level, but the dog ends up like disappearing.
Oh no.
And then I was like, oh, I'm all by myself. And I got like, I progressed a little bit further in the level, but when the dog was gone, I just kind of was like, I'm going to take a little bit of a break. So I went to go play the mortuary assistant. And oh, then perfect. That's when I was just like, oh, this is spooky. But I really like kind of just things with demons and like the devil or.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Creepy things like that. Witchcraft, I guess. Mm-hmm. Summoning weird spirits and creatures from other dimensions.
You ever used a Ouija board?
I've not, but I've always wanted to.
I remember actually, now that I mention it, I remember you looking for one at one point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everyone said Target. Don't do that.
The spookiest store.
I mean, it's either going to be there or at like Home Goods.
Right.
White people love things like that. They to mess with the spirit other worlds.
Yeah. Yeah.
maybe we'll have to do a live Ouija boarding.
We should, yeah.
Yeah. And we both just die on air.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be good content, you know?
Yeah. We'd be famous probably.
Yeah.
For at least a little bit.
For a hot minute.
Yeah.
Well, I'm really considering about like buying the full game, The Mortuary Assistant.
It sounds like you should.
Yeah. It's again, just super creepy though. I was playing it. I think it was like 1 a.m. last night with the lights off. And I was like, oh.
Once we should get this room like really decorated and extra horror-y and then set up some mood lighting, maybe even get a little fog machine.
That'd be cool.
And then when you play those games, you could have it all set up and spooky in here, and then it makes it extra spooky.
Even better.
Yeah.
I want to quit the game even earlier.
Yeah.
Although, yeah, it has me kind of wanted to play this other game. It was called Outlast. I don't know if I've ever told you about that.
No.
But it's pretty much something happens at a psych ward, and you don't have any weapons, and all you have is like a camera that can see in the dark. And it's pretty much like you have to run from the people who are there who they are 100% possessed by demons. And like, there's this weird creature thing and it's horrifying. And then the second one is what I installed again last night, because that has to do with kind of cults and all that kind of stuff. And
yeah,
I really had a good time playing that. That one took me a while to play through, you know,
because it was too spooky.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was fun. And it's been a hot minute, so I want to give that another go. Playing Mortuary Assistant kind of got me wanting to play some more horror things. But like I said, the whole, do I really want to do this, is probably going to always be in the back of my head, because it's spooky stuff, but it's a fun feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for a game where you can actually like have conversations with the characters in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Like in VR, if you could like speak with the demon, that'd be cool.
That'd be interesting.
Like, you know, how you would with like a Google or an Alexa, even like it's pretty limited, but like, hey, you know, what are you doing here? And then it has like a artificial intelligence response. I think that would be even extra spooky.
Phasmophobia has a little something kind of similar to that, where you have like a spirit box, it's called, and you can go, once you find the location of the ghost or find like clues as to where it might be, you can bring the spirit box in and you can ask questions like, where are you? How old are you? How did you die?
Oh, that's cool. And you actually speak into the thing?
Yep. You speak into the microphone and then you hear responses like old or.
Oh, that's cool.
Young. We're asking about the age, or how did you die? Painfully. Yeah.
Spooky.
Yeah. Stuff like that. It's little things like that I think make a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
So this week we're doing things a little bit different. We are not going over a full-length movie. We are, in fact, going over a little bit of a horror short. So a couple episodes ago, we mentioned a Quibi show called The 50 States of Fright, where it was a bunch of different directors would come together and they would do a bit of like a horror story or a horror short about a specific state, or that would take place in a specific state. And they would make like a little 3-part episode. And we have decided to kind of cover one of those because we needed a little extra time to make for next week's episode, which is going to be a little special. There's a little tease for you right there, but that's something to look forward to. So today we're going to be covering the very first episode of the 50 States of Fright show called The Golden Arm, directed by Sam Raimi. And this short covers the state of Michigan.
Every state has its folklore, tall tales and legends. But sometimes there is a darker story, a tale not so much told as whispered.
Let me ask you this, Jeff. Do you know the folklore, the story behind the Golden Arm?
I mean, based off just what I watched,
mm-hmm.
probably.
Perfect. Well, I'm going to go over it for everyone else who doesn't know.
Sounds good.
So this is from the website called wikipedia.org. The Golden Arm is a folk tale, a story appearing in multiple cultures through oral tradition and folklore, most famously told by Mark Twain and also used by him to instruct others in how to tell a story. The tale begins with a death or a recently deceased victim who has an artificial limb, usually an arm made of gold. The victim has their limb stolen after their death, most often by a loyal or a trusted friend in greed. Then the victim comes back from the grave looking to get their golden arm back and scares the robber into giving them back their arm. That's essentially a summary of this tale.
That sounds right.
Mm-hmm. And this episode has a much updated version of that here. I think that it is...
gorier.
Much gorier. It's interesting, and it definitely has a lot of the Sam Raimi vibe to it. It's
right.
Very much a Sam Raimi thing.
I gotta say, I didn't get the... it seemed like there was supposed to be a moral.
Mm-hmm.
Or like a, so don't be greedy.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't really get that from this.
I think the moral was, don't marry vain people.
Yeah, like don't marry this a-hole.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good moral, yeah.
It is. Well, let's start from the beginning with this story. So this short stars Rachel Brosnan.
Who you Marvelous made, Mrs. Maisel.
Exactly. And also Travis Fimmel, who I recognize him from the movie Warcraft that nobody saw.
Ah, the famous movie Warcraft.
Yeah, directed by David Bowie's son.
That's right, the director of Moon.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. A much better movie. I think his name's like David. Oh, wait.
Are you talking about yourself?
That's not right. Also David Bowie. Duncan.
Duncan MacLeod.
No.
That's Highlander.
Duncan Jones.
Duncan Jones, that's right. You'll also probably recognize Travis Fimmel from Vikings because he looks like a Viking. My notes are a little sparse here. They're very interesting. So my first note is Lumberjack Dave loves lumberjacking.
He sure does.
It starts off with him and his buddy, and they're out just cutting down trees, and they're using axes instead of chainsaws for some reason.
Oh, just classic. That's why.
Have you ever tried to cut a tree down with an axe?
I have.
It is.
It's hard.
It's so hard.
It's really hard. Yeah.
And it takes a lot of time.
Mainly, it just took little tiny chunks out of the bark.
Mm-hmm. So...
To be fair, I was using a hatchet, not an axe, so it's even worse. It's like a tiny little axe.
I believe that because it's half the size of an axe, it'll take twice as long.
Half the size of an axe for half the size of a man. Oh.
Sorry, Dave.
Anyway.
Then we're introduced to Heather. She is hot to trot, and she knows it. So this is an interesting kind of way that they frame the story. It's that's the actor's name. So it's Dave. Dave and Heather are the two main characters. And it's framed with Dave's friend, whose name I don't remember, but that's okay. It's framed with Dave's friend telling us, the viewers, about what happened to this couple.
Yeah, I didn't love that.
It was an interesting way of doing things.
I get how they're trying to, because it's like, it's like a legend almost.
Yeah.
And it's someone telling the story also. So it kind of gives you that vibe. But it also just felt kind of...
just felt out of place.
Pulled me out of it in a way.
Yeah. Because it would flash to him every now and again. He'd be like, you know what they say?
Right. Yeah. Well, he's like talking to the camera, which makes it gives it a weird, like, I don't know. It was like a...
it's like The Office.
It's like The Office or... yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It changed the tone of it to me.
So we learn that Heather, she likes expensive things. And... they can't really afford it, but because Dave is such a nice guy, he ends up buying these things for her.
More like he's a sucker.
Yeah. Guess that's what love does. Makes him a sucker.
Yeah, it definitely feels like it's like Heather's the prettiest girl in town.
That's exactly what it is. Hot to trot, baby, and she knows it.
Right. So it's like the whole thing is he's just like, wow, you're hot. And she's like, well, I like expensive things that we can't afford. Buy me expensive things. And he's like, I mean, you are hot, so I guess I will.
Going back to the moral of the story.
So greed and shallowness.
Yes.
Right? Well, is there anything else you'd call that? Being with someone for their looks?
No. So there's a scene very early on, too, where they're in a barn. And it honestly made me think of the Smallville barn.
Oh, totally. The multi-level and the way it's lit and everything. Mm-hmm.
very TV showy, mm-hmm. very much like, I think I've been here before.
And honestly, it was surprising. Like, his setup is not what I was expecting. It was like, I'm a lumberjack cutting down trees with an axe. And then it cuts to him with like a super high tech. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. modern day system. He's in AutoCAD, like drafting up a dining set. I was like, whoa, what the hell? And you're using an axe? Chains These are two ends of the spectrum here, guy. You can use a, like you said, might want to upgrade to a chainsaw.
You would think, but maybe he can't because Heather was too busy buying golden necklaces.
That's right.
Which she's wearing in a mirror. And he's just like, okay, can afford it, but that's all right. Are you happy?
Like, well, that's new.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, it was just so beautiful. I couldn't resist. And it's like, also, is it? It's like a simple gold thing. And then he like puts his hand around her neck.
Uh-huh.
It's like, this feels sexual.
Mm-hmm.
Weirdly.
There's a fun scene too, where she takes like this glue gun and just starts writing, I love you on the floor. And I'm like, don't do that.
I thought he was going to be pissed off. It's like, what are you doing?
It's like, people step on this.
Okay. For one, wasting glue.
Uh-huh.
Two, hey, hazard. You're going to be smearing glue and shit all over the ground. Mm-hmm. Getting it on my shoes.
Mm-mm.
Three, making a mess. Come on, lady.
So he goes out and chops down lumber and she puts glue on the floor. It's the perfect relationship.
Yeah.
As you know, we are finding out.
Two peas in a pod.
Yep.
Perfect partnership.
So later on, I guess maybe a few days after, his lumberjack's buddy's name is Andy, and Andy is the one framing the story. Had it in my notes. So Andy calls out sick, and he convinces Heather to help him out, chop down like one final tree before a storm is coming.
Right.
We do get some character growth, though, because this is when we find out that Heather is part of the fundraising committee.
That's right.
So
because she buys that golden dress mm-hmm. for that for some reason. Because yeah. She's a crazy person.
She sure is.
It's like it looks like the Belle's dress from Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
It's like it's a fundraising event.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need that.
And she like lives in this kind of like a country town.
Like a small town.
Which
no
you know
one's going to be dressed like that.
Like what you like. That's fine.
Right.
But also, like you were just saying, it seems unnecessary for a fundraising committee meeting, I guess.
Yeah, I feel like how is she not the talk of the town and not in like, well, she's so pretty, but like, what's wrong with her?
Mm-hmm.
They go to like let's go to a diner and she shows up in like a ball gown. Oh, I love gold. It's like, I'd be not spreading rumors, but I'd be talking about her behind her back. That's for sure.
That kind of makes me think of, you know, there were those kids who would dress up in like tuxedos and stuff and then go to McDonald's and put like fucking candles out. It's like, what are you doing? Yeah, yeah. What is this?
I did one time convince, right out of high school, my friend and our girlfriends at the time uh-huh. to wear our prom outfits.
Okay.
To go get sushi.
Uh-huh.
They did not love this idea. I was like, this is so fun and like funny. Like we'll be wearing tuxedos and like big dresses and we'll get sushi and we'll go drinking and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They were not a fan of that. They did not think it was fun. They thought it was uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So you know what? Maybe I am. I gave Heather a hard time, but we all make mistakes.
It's
you know?
True. We can learn. You've learned from that.
Yeah. I'm not going to go wear a tuxedo to McDonald's.
I don't know if Heather's learned this lesson, though.
Not yet.
Not. We'll see.
Yeah.
So Dave ends up convincing Heather to go out and help him. And he's once again using an axe to cut down a tree.
Yeah. And she's doing jack shit.
She's holding a rope.
You're right. She is holding a rope.
She's letting the slack loose.
Yeah. She's supposed to be pulling the rope
yep.
and holding it tight so the tree doesn't fall in the wrong direction, but she's just kind of gently holding it.
Just looking around.
Which made me so mad. I was like, you know what? I hope the tree falls on you.
Wow.
I hope it falls on you or him. And then you feel bad about it.
I don't know if she'd feel bad about it. She'd be like, oh, looks
like she's
like,
I
have to spend money to make myself happy.
Yeah. I guess I'll just buy some more gold.
So as she's holding the rope or loosely holding it, Dave is like, hey, you know, keep that tight. We don't want any trees falling on people. And then a stick gets stuck in it and it ends up getting caught in the rope.
Mm-hmm. And like a pulley.
In a pulley. Thank you. So Dave manages to get the tree, you know, finally cut through. He also says it'll take like a short time and it does not. It looks like it's taking fucking forever. Anyways, because of the stick getting stuck in the pulley, when the tree falls down, it does not go in the direction it's supposed to.
I get my wish.
Just like that. And that tree fucking goes straight down on her arm.
Yeah, it does. And it explodes.
Yes. There's just like a burst of blood.
Which might be my favorite scene in the movie.
I think mine too.
One, for like sweet, sweet justice. You fully deserve this. Uh-huh. And two, man, it was just shot well.
Yeah.
It looked really cool. Like the falling tree, the perspective of the tree falling.
Yeah.
And then just, man, it pinning her and just blood spewing out. I'm not the gore guy, but God, that was satisfying.
And I just felt like that was such a Sam Raimi thing too.
Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so she's stuck underneath this tree. And my other note says, hey, don't pull on it, idiot, because he tries to kind of grab her arm.
That was like, upsetting to me. I did not like that.
Right.
Yeah. For as much as I liked the arm getting crushed, him pulling on her made me real uncomfortable.
Yeah. Because it's clearly just you're pulling on like ligaments and whatever's holding it together.
It gives me a chill.
Yeah.
I mean, try pushing on the tree even, which dumb. Yes. Or like use your axe as a lever and try and lift the tree a little bit.
Yeah, leverage.
Don't pull on the body, you stupid idiot. No wonder you're with this horrible person. You're so stupid.
They're meant to be together.
Anyway, I don't love the main characters, as you might have picked up on.
Which actually might kind of lend in more towards this moral is just...
Right.
Terrible don't be a people, sucker. Yeah, terrible people fall for each other and have terrible situations happen. So he says the line, you're losing too much blood. And like you said, instead of doing anything like, you know, leverage, maybe pushing on the tree, he just pulls out his axe and just fucking lops that arm straight off.
Yeah. Oh, you're losing too much blood. Hold on. Let me cut your arm fully off.
Yeah. We also get just one more explosion of blood, too, when he hits it.
I didn't love that one for some reason. I like the first one, not as much the second one, but I like that it splattered onto the camera. Yeah. That was kind of stylistic and cool.
Also, when the tree fell on her, I know we just kind of said, but like that, the way that was shot, just it was like the side and you saw her body just like hit the ground hard. Like
that was cool.
Really being hit by that tree on the arm. And she went, it was beautiful.
Yeah. Straight into the ground, full force. And then it cuts to her totally fine.
Mm-hmm.
Full, like cleaned up.
She just got the stuff
partial
down.
Arm. Yeah.
This is the beginning of episode 2.
That's right. Okay. That's right.
Yeah. Again, these are all 10-minute short little things you can watch.
Yeah, a 3-parter, right?
Yes. So I think that tree landing on her, I think it was a good way to kind of like start things off, the setup, and now we're getting into the story.
My personal opinion here, that should have been the end. I would have loved that just like 10-minute short.
Uh-huh.
And that's the end. Good to go.
It's called the golden arm, but there's nothing gold in it. There's no arms aside from the one getting chopped off.
Yeah. It would be like, oh, she just must have loved her arm. It was like the golden, you know, and it's like the moral is if you're in charge of safety, pay attention, you know, and do what you're supposed to be doing and not just, you know, lazily whatever. Ugh. So now she's armless and she thinks she's ugly now.
Mm-hmm.
Which again, what are you talking? I mean, yes, for how annoying you are, you're very pretty. Obviously, that's the whole point kind of the story. Just because you're missing an arm doesn't change that. But I guess in her, she's so vain that in her eyes that it does.
Exactly. She also punches the mirror that she's looking at with like the arm nub, and that looks painful.
Totally. Also kind of badass.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
But I was like, oh, God, you're going to cut.
You can cut that thing
back
open. You're going
to cut your thing back open.
Yeah. So the next scenes we have her, she's like out and about in town, and they really kind of emphasize how like nobody, like everyone's giving her like weird looks.
Mm-hmm.
But I think maybe that's her perspective. I feel like maybe most people don't really care, but because she's so vain, she drops like these groceries and there are these two kids who just kind of like stare at her really awkwardly.
Yeah, it's like, wow, help maybe. Yeah. Or maybe they're like, maybe my theory was right before where they're like, ugh, it's her. You know, it's not about her arm. She's like, it's about my arm. And like, no, you're so into yourself and it's like uncomfortable
and it's showing
that she's like, don't look at me, and they're like, what are you talking, like you're fine, what are you but they should have helped her with the groceries even if she is insufferable.
There is a great scene after that too where Dave ends up presenting her with like this fucking robot arm.
Like sick ass
yeah.
bionic robot arm.
Yeah.
Which also, how'd you learn to do that?
Well, he does have that program. Remember, he's making all that vinyl
yeah. wood
things. I'm like, oh, I'm
I would assume
he
would have tried to, he would have tried to make an arm out of wood because he's a lumberjack and like makes furniture. And he's like, hey, I made you this bionic metal arm, which I was like, badass. And yeah. she's kind of like, ew.
Her reaction is, it's hideous.
It's hideous.
And then she just gets up and leaves.
Yeah.
He's like, oh. It's like, come on, woman. It's like,
wow, I just made this fully functional fucking arm for yeah. you. Disgusting.
She's not having
get
it.
Get this out of my face.
And it's all like black too. And it looks so bad.
Yeah, it has like curly fingers on it in a cool way.
Then we get some more scenes of her just out in her garden, out on the front lawn. Mm-hmm. It's all now overgrown. I did like how they changed like the color tone in the palette, because before, when, you know, she was all happy and had both arms, all the colors were bright and very yeah. just like, oh, I live the
kind
best
warm,
life.
Warm.
Yeah, warm.
Golden tones even.
Yes.
Hmm.
But now that she's all upset because, you know, she's had one minor accident happen. I guess not minor, but, you know, one accident happen.
Yeah.
But she's still alive, and then she just sees the world completely different. And I right. like that that they conveyed that with the colors. I thought that was
right,
very
which
cool.
goes towards what you were saying. It kind of indicates that we are seeing this through her perspective.
Yeah.
So like the way people are looking at her and stuff, it all kind of goes together.
Mm-hmm. At a certain point, she ends up, I guess she's just crying herself to sleep, keeping Dave up all the time.
Right.
And I guess this is what gives him the idea to create another arm. A better arm.
Yeah, try and make a better one, which I personally thought was uglier.
Well, hey, to each
I
like
the
own.
First one.
The first one was badass.
Yeah, second one was like a metal glove. It was fine.
So the next morning, Heather goes out to the barn and she finds him. He's just finished creating this arm. Mm-hmm. I guess it's different from the first, because the first was much more robotic, I guess. And
yeah.
you know, it was sharp and had points. This one is just like a smooth, very, I guess, something that appeases her.
Yeah, it looked she's almost happy. Like stainless steel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And her reaction to this is...
Surprise, surprise.
Can you make it gold?
Yep.
And he says, are you serious? Her response is, do you still love me? Please make it out of gold.
I would have been like, no. That's stupid.
This scene reminded me of Iron Man 1. When he makes like his first like Mark III like suit, and it's all silver.
Right.
Or it's one of the Mark ones, and he's like, why don't you add some gold and some hot rod red to it? Yeah, yeah. And I was like, huh, she's essentially Iron Manning this right now.
Yeah.
Can you make it gold? Come on, woman.
Can you make it gold? I'd be like, yeah, sure. Go get some spray paint. We'll spray paint it gold.
Or like.
I'm not gonna make it solid gold, you freak.
Yeah, spray paint.
Yeah.
I never even thought about that.
Just make it look gold.
Yeah. It doesn't
but
have
she's
to be.
So she's not even just vain. She's so greedy and so weird about like precious metals.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, what, it's so weird.
So he ends up taking out a second mortgage. You see him selling like his furniture, his tractor, everything that he has. And he buys gold bars.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you buy gold bars? I'm just curious about
great
that.
Great question. Don't even know. the treasury?
I guess. I was like, I guess he went to Fort Knox and made an exchange. He's like, hey, here's some money.
Yeah, here's a tractor. Can I have some gold? Maybe you just find like an old prospector.
Of course, the old prospectors.
Yeah.
They are in the country.
They could probably use a tractor.
So he takes these metal bars and he melts it down and he makes the golden arm.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think he could have just used some of the items that she had that were gold? Because she had the gold necklace. I guarantee you she had like more gold jewelry and things.
Definitely. You could melt that shit down. Yeah. But would she have let him? Probably not.
What if he did it without her knowing? He just steals it one day while she's out dropping her groceries, mm-hmm. not getting any help from the local kids.
Right,
she's
right.
a hideous monster.
I feel like she would just cry herself to sleep somewhere.
Even if she had the golden arm though?
Yeah, she'd be like, but I don't have my golden necklace. And then he'd have to go buy some more shit.
She's
but
like,
yeah, that would be a better idea.
It just doesn't match like her arm and the outfits that she's wearing. She yeah. needs the necklace.
He's like, well, now I have one gold thing. I had like six gold things. Idiot.
Make up your mind.
Thanks a lot. It's like, all right, you're welcome for making a full ass arm.
So she is pumped. She reminds me of like C-3PO a little bit.
Oh, it's totally. Yeah.
Fucking
yeah.
shiny hand, which, you know, I'll give her this. It looks cool. Looks nice.
Yeah.
And now we go back to the colors that they warm back up. They brighten up.
Mm-hmm.
She's having the time of her life. She's like
dancing, spinning,
yeah,
showing off her golden arm to kids in the street.
Like this girl comes up and she's like, "Are you a princess?" She's yeah. like, "Yeah, I guess." Who made it? My king or my prince?
Ugh.
Everything is great.
Or so we think.
We see her starting to look a little worse for wear. She's coughing. Mm-hmm. Trouble in paradise. Yes. Yes, there is much
yes,
trouble in paradise.
Yes, definitely trouble in paradise. Someone's getting sick. What could be the cause?
In all capital letters in my notes, it just says pulmonary gold disease.
Yeah.
Apparently, this golden arm is, her skin is absorbing it and it's slowly killing her. And she, like at this point, she looks bad. Mm-hmm. She's got like, you know, like spots all over her and her eyes are just like heavy and baggy.
Yeah.
And, like, the doctor is telling you, if you don't take that off, you're going to die. And she's like, no, no,
no, don't you take it off. I mean, you could even, I would assume, like, just put a barrier in between, like, just wrap your arm in like ace bandage or something and then put your golden arm back on. But,
or like just a t-shirt. I never fucking thought about that.
Yeah. Anything, you know, it's like, nope, sorry, not taking it off.
I can't take off my golden arm ever. And then David's just like, all right.
He's like, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm a pushover. So
good job listening to your doctor, David.
Yeah.
So she's slowly dying and he's just sitting by and watching her slowly die.
Yep.
One night she wakes up and she just makes David promise that she will be buried with that arm. Promise me. And he's like, all right. Yeah, sure.
Which is so selfish.
Yeah. There is a bit of a jump scare when some lightning happens, which got me. And then she dies with her eyes wide open. It's terrifying. We have her at her funeral and she's getting her wish. She's mm-hmm. getting buried with that golden arm. Around this time, I guess the recession hits this area real hard and David is forced to, no one wants to buy his stuff. His bills are adding up.
Yeah, nobody needs lumberjacking.
Nobody needs furniture. Everybody has that. So he ends up getting drunk one night and he decides to go get that arm back.
Hell yeah.
We see him grab a shovel and an axe. And this is something very fun. We get a director trademark right now. We see it's called the Classic. It's the 1973 Oldsmobile Delta 88. So in pretty much every movie that Sam Raimi has directed, this car always shows up.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's cool.
Yeah. Evil Dead 1, Evil Dead 2. Parts of it showed up in Oz the Great and Powerful. If you remember in Spider-Man's 1-3, all of the scenes where Uncle Ben was talking to Peter before he gets shot when he's mm-hmm. dropping him off in the car is the Classic.
Oh, crazy. Is it the same actual car?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it like the same model and he finds a new one each time?
It's the same actual car.
Oh, that's cool. So he just owns the car and mm-hmm. puts it in all his movies.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
And very Quibi cool. shows.
Yes. Yeah. Most things that he does there. So that's when David proceeds to go to the graveyard. We now have episode 3, the final part. Let me ask you this.
Okay.
How are you feeling about this show so far?
Feels a little straightforward.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess they're all 10 minutes
fairly
each.
Fairly simple. Yeah. It's also just like based on like a folklore or whatever, a legend. So it's kind of like those are generally fairly simple to really put the moral of the story forward.
Yeah, definitely.
So it's like, well, I kind of know what's going to happen. I'm assuming it's like you seal the arm. Something or other happens, you know?
Yeah.
I'm feeling okay.
Good.
I like some of the stylistic choices.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like any of the characters.
Which I think, again, might be the point.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's like,
y'all
look at these dummies. Don't do what they do.
Except for Andy. Andy seems okay.
Yeah, Andy's fine.
The guy.
He's like, I don't know. I tried to call out of work one time. Yeah. I'm just a lumberjack. It's like, okay, you're cool.
Yeah. So David gets to the cemetery and he just busts that grave straight open. Like he does not hold back. He just cracks the thing right down the center.
Yep. Using that trusty old axe.
There's a cool little spooky scene where he kind of reaches up to get the shovel or something. And he looks back at her and her eyes are just wide open.
Mm-hmm.
Very spookily.
Oh, jump scare. And then he closes them,
mm-hmm.
which, ew, just leave them. Don't touch this decaying body.
Yeah.
And then doesn't he like reach up for something else or something? And then he turns around, they're open again.
Yeah. I think he chops the arm off or he gets the golden arm back because it won't come off. So he chops it.
Mm-hmm.
And then yeah, he looks back and her eyes are open again. Ugh. And he freaks out and just fucking books it the fuck out of there.
Yeah. You barrier, dude.
Nah, just leave that open.
Yeah. It's also like, what do you think people are going to like, oh God, someone dug up this guy's wife's body and mm-hmm. stole her golden arm. Mm-hmm. What is he going to do? Hey, I got to sell this golden arm unrelated to my dead wife. It's like, ew, dude, you cut her arm off.
Anybody want this?
There's an arm inside. Is that okay? It's like, yikes. Bad plan. Bad plan. He is drunk, but come on.
Yeah.
You could do better.
When he arrives home, he starts having some strange things, or starts noticing some strange things happening.
Yeah, some odd sounds.
It sounds like there's like screaming and mm-hmm. kind of like yelling on the wind. Like the windows kind of bust open. He goes outside and he just hears just these weird fucking sounds. Mm-hmm. He's like, this isn't normal.
Yeah, this feels spookier than usual.
So there's this bit that I liked where we see a picture of his wife and it's just her normal. Then it falls to the ground, or maybe it just changes, but the picture changes and suddenly it's her with an axe and then it falls.
Yeah, because I think it changes to her with an axe and he goes, and he drops it and shatters.
Yeah.
And then when it shatters, it changes again.
And she's like facing him.
And she's like looking at him and kind of like intense, like mm-hmm. I'm coming for you. And then it somehow changes again and it's like super zoomed in. And she's
I think it's
like
just her eye.
It's like right? her eyeball. And she's like, like even closer. And he's like, oh God.
And then she just disappears completely.
Which
from the
it
picture.
Made me laugh. I was like, that's goofy.
Yeah. Again, felt very Sam Raimi.
It's like, again, it might not be a secret, but Sam Raimi, not my favorite director. Mm-hmm. I like a lot of his choices and I like that he makes bold choices like that, but some of them are pretty goofy.
But I think that that's part of his style too.
Oh, totally. It's intentional.
Yeah.
I just don't know if I'm always on board, but I did enjoy it. So I guess I am.
So he ends up grabbing the golden arm and he runs upstairs, but he hears something at the door. We get kind of another director trademark here where it's like a shaky cam and it kind of like zooms in on things. It zooms in on the door as it's kind of like banging.
Right.
And then it zooms in on his face, Dave's face, and kind of like his eye too. Mm-hmm. And it's just it's very Evil Dead.
Right.
Very things. I also recognize that in Doctor Strange there. And that was fun. Mm-hmm. So the door opens up and we start to see a shadow of someone dragging an axe while missing an arm.
Right.
I think we all know who this is.
So he makes the decision any grown adult lumberjack man would make. And he's like, oh God, there's something coming after me with an axe. Uh-huh. What do I do? What do I do? What will save me? A blanket. I'll hide under this blanket.
He runs upstairs. Yeah. Throws a blanket over his fucking head.
It's like, there you go, bud. That'll save you.
It worked for me when I was a kid, you know?
Well, those rules only apply when you're a kid.
That's true.
Under a blanket, monsters can't touch you. You have to make sure to cover your feet.
Mm-hmm. That's most important.
Right. You stick your leg outside of the blanket, they're going to snatch you right up.
Yeah.
Close your closet door. See, there's like very, you know.
There are rules.
There are rules to follow. But once you're an adult, I mean.
Rules go out the window.
Sorry.
You're probably going to die.
Yep.
There were some very cool shots that I liked too. Kind of, we saw a first person perspective or a POV shot of him under the blanket. Mm-hmm. And we saw like a dead heather slowly just coming closer and closer. Mm-hmm. And it looked like, I mean, we watched a YouTube version. I know I did at least.
Yeah, me too.
And it looked like there were some kind of cool effects. Like they put on practical kind of like a dead face.
Yeah, it looked pretty cool. Yeah, I like the decayed version of her.
And I like that it didn't really show too much either.
Right.
It was terrifying, mm-hmm. honestly.
Old school rules of like show less has more of an impact.
Yeah.
More if you fill in more with your imagination.
So she gets closer and closer to him. And I like that the blanket lifts and he just slowly hands it back.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Here you go.
And then as soon as she gets it back, she just disappears.
Yeah. Pew, gone. He's just alone in the room. Mm-hmm. He slowly pulls the blanket down. Mm-hmm. Looks around. Nothing.
No one. Not a no single there. Thing. Until all of a sudden there is.
Ah! And then she cuts his throat with an axe.
She like zooms out from the closet or some sort of door. Yeah. Which again is another very Sam Raimi thing. It's just
kind of
like,
goofy but fun.
Yeah. Like soars across the floor. And then she takes the axe and he just hits him like right in the left side
right
of the neck. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we just see more blood kind of splat out. That's my blood sound.
Which man... Come on, forgive and forget. It's your husband.
Nope.
You're like, you take my gold arm, I'm going to slit your throat, guy. It's like, all right, damn, chill.
It's like, I know you can't afford anything right now and you're about to have the house taken from you.
Yeah.
and taxes.
And this is you made this arm out of gold that you got.
Mm-hmm.
But fuck you, I'm gonna cut your throat.
Yeah,
and take my gold. To be fair, she is undead, so mm-hmm. maybe she's not thinking fully. You know, not fair. Thinking straight. I guess.
But still, you think even you would hope. That yeah. your dead wife would understand that you're not doing this for selfish reasons.
It's like, I'm going to starve.
Yeah.
I'm going to lose the house.
I'm going to be homeless. Yeah.
She's like, I don't fucking care. I like gold.
If I'm dead, you can't be happy.
Yeah. Oh, man. At some point in this, you got to cut in a line from Austin Powers.
What's the line?
Gold.
Okay.
I like gold or whatever. Do you remember that guy?
I might just leave that in.
I love gold.
Well, that's the end of Dave right there. The next shot we have is of her and Dave just kind of curled up in the bed. They look like Aww. They could be peacefully sleeping, even Cute. Though she's a corpse and his throat is just wide open. And it's
open for business.
Very cute. We have Andy kind of finishing up the tale, being like, well, no one goes near those graves. We don't really know what happened there. Not sure how he knows as much detail as he does as well, but hey.
Maybe theory here.
Let's hear it.
Maybe Andy is his wife.
Interesting. What?
Right.
Okay.
Because you ever seen the same place? I don't think you do.
Wait, Andy and Heather?
He calls out, quote unquote, likely story of work. And guess who shows up in his place?
Mm-hmm.
Heather.
Interesting. There are scenes where Heather and him are together.
Well, prove it.
I could rewind the video for you.
Nope. No.
All right. That's hot theory number one.
Yep.
Hot take. So as he's telling us, the audience, that no one goes near the grave, there's a zoom in and we kind of go into her grave. And then we finally get one last sort of jump scare as Heather's eyes open wide.
Ah!
And that is episode one of the 50 States of Fright, The Golden Arm.
The Golden Arm.
It's funny that you brought up the lesson or the moral early on, because like it's just at the very end of my notes. I have lesson or moral question mark.
I don't see people. Yeah, like these people are bad, so bad things happen. That's as far as I can get.
Yeah.
Because it's like... He's not greedy.
No.
He's like, I'm just trying to do what's best for my wife. And he gets his throat cut. Mm-hmm. So it's like, or I guess the moral could be like, again, don't be a sucker.
That might be it.
Like, come on.
And
you,
the vain part.
She's not with you because she loves you. She's with you for the gold.
And his handsome good looks.
His that
rugged lumberjacking abilities.
Right. I bet she's a fan of his lumberjacking, if you know what I mean.
I don't. Nope.
Right?
I don't. No.
You get it?
I don't.
So,
yeah. So that was just a...
That was a thing.
Interesting kind of little horror take. I haven't seen any of the others. I'm kind of like tempted to check them out, but I don't really know too much about the rest. Again, it never really got that far. I think it got canceled after 13 or so episodes.
Right, because again, Quibi.
Yeah.
I'd be interested to see like who the other directors are.
Mm-hmm.
I'd probably just based on that. Like if there's any directors I like, I'd check out those. Just not fully like the vibe of it felt a little bit like Ripley's Believe It or Not. There's almost like a... let me tell you a legend.
Yeah.
There was once a man who drove trucks and there was, you know, it's kind of like
There was once a man from Nantucket.
Yeah. So outside of like directors having interesting styles like Sam Raimi, I don't think I'd be a huge fan. It's kind of fun though. Kind of interesting. I like that it's, if I was a Quibi user, it's like a little short bite-sized content.
Yeah.
You only got to watch 10 minutes at a time, even if you're like, this isn't that great. It's like, whatever. Digestible.
Could you have seen this like being turned into like a full length movie? Do you think they could have made this into a movie?
I feel like you could probably make anything into a movie, but it wouldn't, True. Not one that I would have liked.
Yeah.
You would have had to add all kinds of B plot, C plot, D plot, and then also really stretch out the whole golden arm thing.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you could. You just make like her being the undead version of herself a good two-thirds of the movie.
Maybe there would have been a lot more kind of development for her where it's like, oh, this is why I like gold, or mm-hmm. I don't know, something.
Right. And then more of him like trying to stay alive and her coming after him.
Maybe explain more why they're together, because I don't see why they are in this.
Nope.
There is no reason.
Yeah, you could make a movie out of that.
But like you just said, I doubt I would watch that.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of seeing if there are any other like directors. Well, I'm looking at the IMDb right now, and we have states like, oh, here's another fun fact for you. I'm going to assume, I don't know this for a fact, but I'm going to assume that Sam Raimi had this set in Michigan, because that's originally where he's from.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I bet they asked him to do it, and he's like, I don't know, whatever Michigan was, I'll do that one.
Yeah.
It's the same for me. I'd be like, well, whatever California is, I'll do that one.
So the states that they have done, so Michigan was the first. We have Kansas, we have Oregon, we have Minnesota, Florida.
Did they ever get to California or no?
Doesn't look like it. Iowa,
I want to know what it would have been.
Washington, Colorado,
maybe Black Dahlia.
Oh, that would have been interesting.
I guess it's not really a legend. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm intrigued by some of these. I might try and find like a list online of some of the better ones, mm-hmm. or if it's even worth checking out, because I had fun with this. It wasn't
kind of fun.
I liked that I didn't like the characters. Mm-hmm. I liked that I could shit on them and be like, ah, you know what? Whatever happens, good.
Yeah.
Except for Andy. Yeah.
I'm glad he survived.
Me too. He did nothing wrong except... Well, actually, he caused,
or was he the wife? Thing.
If he hadn't called out that one day...
Oh, so you blame the worker. I see how it is. Not a fan of unions, are you, Steve?
Well...
Can't call out of work. Work is life.
It's true.
We should blame him.
And if he had been working, she would still have her life.
That's true.
And her arm.
And so would Dave here.
Exactly.
And his tractor.
So who's really at fault here?
Sounds like Andy is.
Is it... the workmen or the workmen's rusty tools?
That's right. That's the moral.
Mm-hmm.
Workers shouldn't have rights. That's the moral of the story. And I agree with it.
You heard it here first, folks.
Yep. Thanks for teaching me a good lesson, Sam Raimi. Good old Sammy. Anyone calls him Sammy Raimi?
I doubt it.
Yeah, maybe. I wouldn't like that.
Personally, no.
No.
So what are your final thoughts on this show here, on this short?
Final thoughts. Kind of a fun little romp. Mm-hmm. Fitting for a platform like Quibi. If I watched this as a full episode on really any other streaming platform, I'd be a little bit like...
what is this?
Underwhelmed.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just kind of like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Why? But fun in the context that it's in.
Yeah.
And I like the Sam Raimi-ness of it.
Agreed with all of the above.
Yeah. But overall, I mean, to be honest, it's not like, it's not something I would like, oh, hey, you should watch this. You have to check this out.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, just pass on it.
If I knew a Sam Raimi fan who hadn't seen it, I might go for it. I mean, that's kind of why I suggested this, because I like Sam Raimi.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a little short we can do and I thought it'd be fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I liked checking out a different kind of horror content.
Yeah.
For sure.
I like that we can kind of keep the doors open on different kind of horror things.
Right. But if someone asked me, I'd be like, and just watch one of his movies.
Probably same here. Yeah. Well, Jeff, as we always do, we like to give everything we watch a rating.
Right. That way listeners can get a good idea of, should I watch this? Should I not?
Exactly. And you just came up with a brilliant rating system.
Mm-hmm.
Out of 50 golden arms, how would you rate this short?
Out of 50, I would say I'd give this maybe a 21 golden arms out of 50.
Uh-huh. This is the largest like rating.
Yeah, maybe an 18.
Done.
No, I'd give it a 21 golden arms out of 50.
So that's like right below a 50, like a half, huh?
Yeah, below half.
You know what? I'll probably give this about, I'll give it a 19.
Oh, wow. Even under me. This 50 is throwing you off. This is maybe your lowest score.
It definitely is my lowest score. I don't know really how to gauge this.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to say the exact same as you. I think okay, 21, cool, yeah. Like it's not great, but it was interesting. It was a fun little take. Yeah.
Fun scenes.
Mm-hmm. The gore, as you know, sparse as it was when it was there, it's like, woof, that's a bunch of blood that they just got thrown at me.
Yeah, it was done in a stylish, kind of fun way.
And the
acting
ending
was good. I mean, for what it was you know, like I like both the actors
and
all the actors.
Just kind of how it took that left turn into all of a sudden it's like a regular world, and now there's a zombie here.
Yeah,
that there was no fun. Hints that this was like the kind of world of zombies or whatever.
Yeah.
That was fun.
So, I wish I would have pumped it up a full 10 golden arms if they would have shown the town's reaction to her as an undead lady.
Because
it shows them their reaction to her as like the prettiest girl in town.
Uh-huh.
And then their reaction to like, missing an arm. What an ugly piece of shit.
Uh-huh.
And then full circle back to. Or I guess not full circle, but all the way over to her undead version. And the kids, it shows her like carrying groceries and she spills her baguette on the ground and they're like, oh God, what the fuck? And people are just screaming in the streets and she's doing her usual routine and looking sad about being a zombie.
Oh, no one finds me pretty anymore.
Yeah. Throw in maybe a sex scene between her and her husband.
While she's alive?
As her, no, in her undead form.
Oh God.
Yeah. Like a tasteful one. Yeah,
of course. No, obviously.
I'm not talking about anything raunchy over here. Just some kissing, you know, just make it get weird with it.
It would be playing Take My Breath Away by Berlin. It'd be like very similar to the Top Gun love scene.
Oh, yeah. Silhouetted.
Yep.
But Take you can tell she's like kind away. Of, you know, missing parts.
Yeah.
Probably more parts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely the arm, but then also like maybe a leg or something. I don't know.
I imagine if this was like made into a full length movie, for whatever reason, I could see them having her like not know necessarily that it was her husband that took the arm at first. And so she goes like through the town, like on a murder spree, and she's like yelling and waving a baguette. Where's my golden arm?
She tries to use the baguette as her golden arm and it makes her mad. That doesn't work.
She's just like, I'm a zombie. I don't know any better.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally,
that would be cool. You're right. It would be her hunting people in the town if it was a full movie.
Yeah.
And then it would end with her finding her husband.
Because someone would be like, it was your husband. He put it on sale on eBay and he has it.
Isn't there a voiceover right at the end that's like, and that something about betrayal or some shit like that? Or am I imagining that?
That could have been Andy saying something like that.
Oh, okay. Because I remember thinking they were pushing some kind of moral and I didn't agree with it. But maybe I was just projecting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, let's just say the moral is, you know, don't be vain.
Yeah. Don't be vain. Don't be greedy.
Mm-hmm.
Don't wear a golden arm for too long. It'll kill you.
Pulmonary gold disease.
That's right.
Oh, all right. You ready for this, Jeff?
Okay.
I'm ready for it almost. So you were saying that this episode, I'm not stalling for time right now.
Yes.
Reminded you a bit of like Ripley's Believe It or Not.
Yeah. 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 Starring Dean Cain? Question mark.
Sounds was that right? That? I was going to say it reminded me more of Fact or Fiction.
Mm.
Is that what it was called? And do you know who was the host of Fact or Fiction?
Was it Jonathan Frakes?
It was. And do you know what Jonathan Franks was the star of? This ad needs to end.
I know he was one of the main characters in Star Trek, The Next Generation.
Did someone say Star Trek? Da, 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 da. And there is our one per.
Number one, make it so. Engage.
I'm going to play the saxophone. That was him, right? Was that him? Did he play the sax?
It must have been. It's such like a, look how fucking cool I am. It's such his vibe, like lame cool.
It's a very sexy instrument.
Who's actually cool is Harry Kim from Voyager. He played the clarinet.
Did he?
Yeah, he did.
What did Picard play? He played the flute, huh?
He played the flute.
Yeah, it's pretty cool too.
Yeah, a weird like alien flute.
Of course.
Yep.
Well,
and Data played the violin.
That's just like a really talented crew right there.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Started a little band.
Well, I'm glad we were able to get our Star Trek reference in before before we wrap it up, because I think that that actually will bring this episode to an end.
All right. In true Quibi fashion, this episode is a little shorter than our other episodes. So this is the end. Thanks for listening. Follow us on Instagram, Hurwitz's House of Horror. Leave some comments saying things like, make me a golden arm, lumberjack boy. Or, you know, whatever you feel like saying, as long as it's nice, don't be mean. And then follow us on podcast places. And Spotify. We will see you. Yeah, you know, all of them. And
well, don't forget, people can find you at Art of Jefferson on Instagram as well.
You could find me there if you wanted. And we'll see you next week for a special episode.
Please, everyone, rate and leave a review on the podcasting platforms, because that's always very helpful and much appreciated.
Please.
All right. Well, thank you again, everyone, for listening. And as we say at the end of every episode of Hurwitz's House of Horror, my arm.
Oh, no, my arm.
Ouchie.
Oops. Shucks. Ah, dang. My arm got smushed.
Ow.
Give me a gold one.
My arm.
Lumberjack boy.